to me wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida. Today my title is The One True God. Many times people always ask, who is God? And if there is God, who is the true God? Who is the real one? The Bible says that the one true God is the sovereign, self-existent creator of the universe. For that, in Book of Isaiah chapter 42 verse 5, God says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. See, many can claim that, people always claim that this and this and this are my God, but the true God says, I am the Lord, there is no other. So he is the one who claims the creator of the universe. And there were many others, human claim, people claim that such and such persons lead us to God. They said Muhammad will lead us to God. They say Buddha will lead us to God. They say Shiva or Krishna or Rama, all these people are gods or incarnated gods. Now, the fact is, none of them has ever claimed to be God. None of them. People made them gods. People want to make their own gods. Because if you want to do your own desires of your heart, do the things you want to do, you're looking for a God who will agree with you. Now the problem with that is, the biblical God of the Bible is not the one who is going to agree with you in everything you want to do. He's a God of truth, purity, holiness, all existing, ever present, self-existing, without no one's help. All these so-called man-made gods, they all need some kind of support. They need help. See, one time in Ephesus city in the ancient first century, there was a legendary god called Artemis. Artemis is a Greek word for Diana, goddess Diana. Then they claim that this goddess fell from heaven. How would you fell from heaven? If you are God, there's no reason you can fell. So, it's a man-made God. The man made their own imaginations and making their own God. If I make a table and the table tell me that I am myself, no, you are created by somebody. So, saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath into the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. This is who is called God. This is from Isaiah chapter 42 verse 5. The one who can create, the one who self-exists, one who is self-sustaining, the one who need nobody's help, he is God. The one who gives us inheritance, means make us his children. who has the power, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. If we notice the word counsel of his own will, God doesn't need anybody's counsel. God is all by himself. He is a Trinity. He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lives in one unit, one person, and he is only true God. He himself declared that. In order to make us his children, he took away our sin by sending his own son, Jesus. Jesus Christ is the true and exact copy of his Father and our Father, God. He is a human expression of a divine God. You want to see God? You have to see Jesus, because he is the invisible person of the visible person of the invisible God. In the Bible, Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus told that God is a spirit. Those who worship him worship spirit and truth. Now the truth, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life, and no one come to the Father without me. So Jesus Christ, the Son of the Holy Living God, is the only way that one can approach God. Because to approach God, you need holiness. You need cleansing. You need purification. Because he is a holy God. He is a devouring spirit. He is a powerful God. On the other side, he is a loving God. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. So what did to say humanity and make them his children? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned him with glory, and honor him, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. So when Christ came to save the humanity, he had to go through the punishment that humanity was supposed to be bearing. And the wages of death is sin. Death, wages of sin is death. The life eternal life in Jesus, grace of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, for it became him for whom all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. God the Father himself sent his Son to take the ultimate sacrifice of death. Both so because of his suffering, and he will have many sons, many daughters, will be born, will be purchased, will be adopted by the death of Jesus. So Jesus forgives, God forgives your sin, and Jesus, through his death, your forgiveness, you accept his death, and you will be accepted as the Son. Now he is eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is what we are talking about, the true God is. He is before everything, and he is from there, from before anything. He is personal. In Deuteronomy, in the book of Old Testament 34, verse 10. That those rose not prophet, not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This tells you God knows us personally. Our God is a God who knows each of us, every human being born in the planet Earth. He's not without his knowledge. God knows every birth when it takes place, every time a baby conceived, God knows it, and he gives the life to every conception. And in Jeremiah, God says, before I formed you, in the belly of your mother, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. This is a message to a prophet. But at the same time, if God knew Jeremiah, God knew you. God knew each of you. God knew me before my birth. The time we concepted did not happen without his knowledge. The one who knew, one who gave life, he is God. Thou knowest my down sitting, David prays in 139 Psalm, verse 1 to 7. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O God, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, nor whither shall I flee from thy presence? You cannot escape from God. You can say there is no God adamantly, even though internally your conscience telling you there is God. There is a God. But you just don't want to believe it. So basically you are cheating yourself. Even though your spirit inside of you, your conscience is telling you there is God, you just don't want to accept it. But God knows you. Where shall I go from thy spirit, David says. God is too big, too huge in his spirit, covers the whole universe. Like someone said, God is greater and bigger than the world he created, the universe he made. He can see all things at one time. He can see everything, the whole universe at one time, and he can just watch. And he knows you. You cannot escape from God. If you can escape, tell me that if you can escape from death, can you escape from diseases, sickness, rampaging in the planet? Can you escape from anything? Yes, I can take the vaccination. Well, it cover you somehow, certain level. Not all, 100%. You don't have knowledge of your own. You don't even know how you breathe. Just like we can understand from books somebody studied, then we believe, yeah, that's how we do it. We don't know how our organs functions very well. We don't even understand it. We can stop breathe for 4 seconds, 4 minutes. We can lose our life. So we have no control on ourselves. So how do we know everything? Well, there is a person who controls everything. His name is God. So one true God possesses all knowledge. Isaiah chapter 46, 9 to 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no one else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. See, God sees the beginning and the end. Your birth, your death, everything you do in your lifetime is known to God. He possesses all power. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but God with all things are possible. See, some said, how would we enter the kingdom of God? Isn't it too hard? Is it difficult? But Jesus said, no, nothing is impossible by God. So we have an all-powerful, all-possible God. What is that we needed? We just have to believe in that all-powerful, all-possible God. Do you have any impossible things in your life? There are many. If you turn around and look, financial loss, difficulties in job, problems in family, difficulty with children, difficulty with our own habits. Don't we have so many problems? But if you come to one person whose name is God, we call him, he has solution for all kind of problems. He is present in all places. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? David said in 139 Psalms, he wrote, If I ascend up into heaven, there art thou. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. See, if you are his child, this will happen to you. His presence is everywhere. Even if you walk through the valley of shadow of death, his hand will cover you and protect you and save you. And David says, there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So, God's presence. You don't want to run away from God. You don't want to run away from his love. His love is endless. He's amazing. He's loving. He wants you to be in his presence. He is unchanging. In the book of James, chapter 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Above, we're talking about from heaven, from God, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no change for God. He's always the same. He loves you the same way he loves everybody else. He has no partiality. He has no favor. He don't take any tips from anybody. There are many false gods. I talked about some false gods earlier. In one religion, which I know very well, they have 330 million gods. How many? Why that many? Because all those are man-made for their own pleasures. Whichever pleasure you want to enjoy, and this god is for that pleasure. There's one for love, there's one for doing each of your things, and that is what the gods' numbers are going up. And none of them possess the attributes of one true God. I just mentioned you the good attributes of some good attributes of you, good God. The one good God is full of love. He is all possible. all-powerful, present everywhere. He possesses all knowledge. He is unchanging. He is loving. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." God loved us when even we are sinners. We are supposed to go to jail according to the law of the country. But according to the law of heavenly government, we are supposed to go to hell. But God loved us. His rich mercy, he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins. Well, we were spiritually dead. We can hear God, and God cannot hear you. Dr. David Jeremiah says in his message sometimes, he says that you are sin and you are spiritually dead. So you can communicate with God and God cannot communicate with you. Until you confess, God can hear you. You confess your sins. God is truthful. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day. A verse from Numbers, book of Numbers 23:19 says, "A clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be clean for clean at even." See, God is truthful. He wants you to be clean. Spiritually clean, physically clean, you need to be in align with the Word of God. You got to be truthful. The one true God is holy, like I said before. Isaiah 6:3, "One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah saw the vision of the seraphims praising God, a group of angels praising him. They cover their face, they cover their feet, they fly with two wings and continually praising God. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Next, God shows compassion. In 2 Corinthians verse chapter 1:3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." I heard a servant of God called John MacArthur. In his message, he says, "Grace be unto you." Grace to you. And then God is merciful. Merciful. He can be merciful to one and merciful to other, but he does not show any disparity, no differences. God is full of mercy. Grace. "If one man's offense doth reign by one, much more they will receive abundance of grace, of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Verse 17 from Romans chapter 5. By the death of one person, by the grace of God, many will be saved. He will be righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you believe in your heart and confess by your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you confess your sins, you will become the child of God. Praise God. Also grace. You are saved by grace, by faith. God judges sin. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." God is righteous. He is loving. But he is a judge. He judges the sin. But he also offers forgiveness. "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." We should fear God because He is the judge. Because He has laws and rules and regulations. Any God is not just loving, truthful, holy, compassionate, merciful, gracious, and forgiving. But our God, we deal with. Our God, the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is true God. The one true God is the Creator, Sustainer, and the Judge of the universe. He declared that the soul who sins will die and will go to hell. The one true God exists in three unity, Trion. The Bible speaks of these three divine persons who share the same nature or the substance or the essence in one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. This characteristic of one true God separates Him from all other gods of monotheistic religion. Islam, for example, teaches one God, Allah, but it's a false God. Since Allah is not true, not triune, is not a trinity, any concept of God that excludes Jesus Christ is faulty. As scripture says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. One true God appeared to humanity, communed with humanity, shared the pain and suffering of humanity, prepared to die for humanity, offered eternal salvation to humanity, and joyfully live with God eternally. This is one true God. You need to come to Him, ask for forgiveness of your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKOV like Victor at gmail.com. That is PR.CHACKOV@gmail.com.
Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.